He'll be in Butler, Pennsylvania today, returning to the site of the July attempt on his life. 2 days from the one-year mark of the Israel-Hamas war, tensions in the Middle East at one of their highest points since that day as Israel weighs a strike against Iran in retaliation for the missile attack. This is ABC News. A jury in Fairfax, Virginia, Friday acquitted a former police officer of involuntary manslaughter for the fatal shooting last year of a shoplifting suspect, Timothy Johnson, outside of a busy mall. But former Sergeant Wesley Shiflett was convicted of reckless handling of a firearm. He had said he acted in self-defense. Friday in Georgia, it was much more than a football game in a community that was rocked by a deadly school shooting.
The stands were packed.
Please join us in a moment of silence and prayer.
Appalachee High School in Winder, Georgia, playing its first home game a month after two students and two teachers died in a school shooting. Football coach Ricky Aspinwall was one of the victims. Leading the team in his absence, assistant coach Matt Bradley.
One of the hardest things that I've ever had to deal with in my life.
Taylor Wheeler, a former student, brought her kids along.
It was very close to home, and when they say that, I don't think you really understand until it happens.
The opposing Jackson County football team warming up in Appalachian strong shirts. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year. Shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wouldn't have been able to afford the roughly $12,000 cost, and they no longer have to stock up on bottled water. Agencies and assistance groups report waiting lists for these grants, saying eligibility is pretty restrictive. Chase Cummings of the Dunn County Environmental Services Department says that existing eligibility requirements for the well compensation program make it hard for people to clean up their drinking water.
Nitrate concentrations must exceed 40 parts per million. The health standard is 10 parts per million. So you'd have to have a very high nitrate concentration in your private well. And if you were to use the current well comp program eligibility, we would have one individual eligible.
That puts many other property owners in a bind because they don't qualify. Cummings says county governments are being more intentional about careful land use. That includes working with farmers to adopt conservation practices so that lower levels of nitrate find their way to surrounding water sources. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high near 82. Southeast winds up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible. Lows around 49. Sunday, sunny and breezy with a high near 65. On Monday, sunshine and a high of 67.
It's 51 at our studios.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Judy Davidoff from the Isthmus.
And Cara Beach tells us all about the Overture production, Shucked.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer, and thanks for tuning in to the best of the Todd Allball Show for the first week
Live
of October.
Location,
so this week on Thursday, Todd went to the Little White Schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin, the birthplace of the Republican Party. I recommend checking out the full episode. You can hear an interview with Mandy Kimes, the executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, about the history of the area and why, even if you're not a Republican, even if you don't care about politics, it's just a region with an incredible, interesting history that can still inspire all of us. Anyway, here we're going to listen to the beginning of Todd's discussion with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor.
We are live here in Ripon, Wisconsin, in front of the Little White Schoolhouse, the birthplace of the Republican Party. It is Thursday, the 3rd of October. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are here live on location, as we said. Beautiful blue sky. We got the Ripon Little White Schoolhouse behind us. We are so thankful to the great folks at the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, in particular Mandy Kimes, the executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber, and also Dr. Sarah Elliott, who is the program director here at the Little White Schoolhouse, for their awesome help and hospitality. They made us feel right at home. We're all set up, ready to go. A big show today. Coming up a little bit later, Mandy Kimes will join us here as the executive director and talk a little bit about what the schoolhouse means, the historic significance, and why Vice President Harris has chosen perhaps to come not here to the schoolhouse directly, but rather to Ripon, Wisconsin. It's going to be an outdoor location today for a big rally, and she's bringing along a very special guest, nobody more Republican than the Cheneys in American political history in the last 30, 40 years. And Liz Cheney, former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, is going to be with her here in Ripon. And, you know, if they want to stop by the table, we'll be happy to put them on. But Mandy will be here in just a little while to talk about that. Also, then in hour two, I'm going to have one of the folks from the Sauk County area. Big happenings in Sauk County tonight for their nursing home there. The county facility is being sold or attempted to be sold to a private institution. We'll find out why that's important as an issue across Wisconsin and give you the details if you want to go to this community forum in Baraboo in Sauk County tonight. Our old friend and colleague Matt Flynn will be along in hour two as well, because the other big story today, of course, breaking last night, was the fact that Judge Chuckton in one of these Trump trials unsealed a myriad of documents pertaining to January 6th, and boy howdy, it's important information. But right now I want to start bringing in the political editor for Civic Media, also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, our very own Dan Schaefer, joining us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A very happy Milwaukee, Dan Schaefer. Did you watch the game? Did you go last night? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, as always, Todd. Yeah, a busy, excited moment for Milwaukee yesterday with the big Brewers playoff victory. You know, I live not too far from the stadium on the west side of Milwaukee.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I noticed that it was absolutely bumping around town around the 5 or 6 o'clock hour yesterday. Every bar had people pouring out of it, getting ready to go to the stadium. And what a game last night with the home runs in the eighth inning to put them over the top. Just the just unbelievably exciting.
Well, I was
definitely looking forward to a great game tonight.
Yeah, I was going back and forth listening to Jeff Levering on the radio coverage and watching it on ESPN. And on ESPN last night, just before the Brewers started their comeback, they gave a shot of the 1982 pennant on the wall and talked about the fact that the Brewers had not come from behind in the seventh inning or later in any playoff game since when? The World Series of 1982. And just like that, bada bing, bada boom, the Brewers come back and win it and break a 20-game streak, Dan, of having been able to come back in 20 games in the playoffs, and they did it last night. I still get goosebumps. And, you know, it all started with our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the movie, in theaters now, by the way, across Wisconsin, about that 82 World Series.
Yeah, it was just a remarkable game. And I don't know, how many times have you watched the replay of the Jackson Cheerio home runs last night. I'm well into the double digits. Maybe like 100 times I've watched those clips.
Well, it's great. And, of course, folks can hear that critical Game 3. It's either go home, end of the season, or on to the divisional series against the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll find out tonight, I believe. Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, or Zomers. I think game time around 6:30-ish tonight. And on select Civic Media stations across Wisconsin, you can hear that game on the Brewers Radio Network. Dan, let's get into what's going on and why we've come to Ripon, Wisconsin today. One of the things that we always ask here on this show is, what's the value add? Why are we doing this? And we came on location today. We're right in front of the birthplace of the Republican Party, not just of Wisconsin, but of the nation. And this schoolhouse dates back to 1853. Now, it's been moved around a couple of times within the city of Ripon to allow for development and to find a place where it can sit forever. It's been refurbished. It's beautiful inside. They have a curator here. You can come and take tours. But, Dan, I wanted to bring you on because you're just kind of like me, a geek of politics in a good way. I wanted to talk a little bit about the significance of Ripon, Wisconsin, the schoolhouse, but also the irony and the richness of Vice President Kamala Harris choosing this place, literally the pinpoint of starting the Republican Party, to come to campaign today, and she's bringing along former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
Yeah, the symbolism here is incredibly strong, and it coincides, you know, the event today coincides with the launch of Republicans for Harris Walls in Wisconsin. So a number of Republicans from all over the state coming together to, as they put it, put country over party, to endorse Kamala Harris for president. And I think, you know, just the events of this week, you mentioned it a little bit at the top of the show there, the unsealed documents from the court case involving Donald Trump in January 6th, what J.D. Vance said the other night at the very end of the vice presidential debate, not acknowledging Joe Biden as the winner of the 2020 election. I think we are getting reminded over and over lately of just how important it is to do what these leaders are saying to do, is put country over party, and select Kamala Harris, because she is the only candidate who can defeat Donald Trump. And I think we've seen over and over again that Donald Trump and the current incarnation of the Republican Party does pose a threat to democracy. And I think we're, you know, in Wisconsin, very aware of that, of right, of that particular threat. And with the, you know, coming closer than any state in the country to having the conservatives on the state Supreme Court, you know, rule in favor of the Trump campaign in their failed efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So I think the symbolism here is tremendously strong. Having a leader like Liz Cheney join Kamala Harris for this event really speaks volumes about where the Republican Party is in 2024 as well.
And you're absolutely right. I'm thinking, I mean, I have no knowledge of this, but my guess is that both Vice President Harris and former Congresswoman Liz Cheney are going to talk about what this Republican Party was founded on so many years ago, right here in this building behind me. And, you know, it was two different parties, the Free Soilers and the Whigs, and they kind of came together. And a lot of this was on predicated on, you know, land rights and land grant universities like the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and issues such as equality. And of course, you know, later on, down, you move down the road, and it was the Republican Party, people forget, that really fought hard for women's suffrage and the right to vote. It was the Republican Party, and of course, they elected their first president, Abraham Lincoln, from just south of here in Illinois, that led the charge against slavery. And it's just ironic in so many ways that in today's modern Trumpism Republican Party, that's just completely flipped.
Yeah, the values are very different. I think, you know, you'll always hear Republicans talk about, you know, being the party of this in their history and you know, party of Lincoln and all of that. And I think, you know, today, and what's happening today with this Republicans for Harris Walls effort, what's happening at the location that you are broadcasting live from in Ripon, Wisconsin, just shows how much the Republican Party has changed, how much those values have changed, and especially under Donald Trump in the last 8 or 9 years, as he's been the dominant figure in the Republican Party, how much the Republican Party itself has changed in that time, and you know, somewhat to a certain extent in the years before it. And, you know, Todd, you yourself are kind of part of that story in a way as well, right? I mean, you are, as you characterize it, somebody who the Republican Party has left in many ways. Could you, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners are well aware of this, but perhaps today is a good moment as any to reset and share some of that story of your own as well.
Dan Schaefer will be taking over the anchor desk here for a minute. No, I appreciate it. I would love to have you take over the anchor desk. No, I mean, I've talked about it on this show, and I appreciate you bringing it up. I don't know that my story is different than a lot of people across Wisconsin and a lot of people who used to call themselves Republican. I just had the opportunity and fortune, I guess, to be in positions that a lot of people weren't. And that is in closed door meetings of the Senate Republican Caucus back in, you know, 2010, 2011, 2013, 2014, when I did my last stint in the legislature for former state senator Dale Schultz. I was his chief of staff. And as people on this party, on this show know so well, I was in the room, you know, to quote Hamilton, where it happened, where Republicans, my boss being one of the exceptions, wanted to pass these so-called voter ID bills, which in reality were voter suppression bills. And Mary Lozick, who was chair of the election committee in the Senate at the time, stood up and she said, hey, I think we ought to think about what this means if we pass this for places like Milwaukee and our college campuses. And the dog whistle was overwhelming, of course. What she meant was if we make it harder for people in Milwaukee, in particular, and college campuses to vote, places where black and brown people in Milwaukee tend to be more than other parts of the state, and college campuses where young people who tend to vote Democratic, not always, but more often than not, then if we can make it harder for those people to vote, then we'll be more likely to win our elections. Because the dirty secret, the quiet secret was they knew that their agenda wasn't going to win with 50% plus one of the statewide population. And my boss was the only one that said, hey, I think we ought to think about what we are doing here. And then state senator and now Congressman Glenn Grothman turned around to Dale and said, well, Dale, then you know the Democrats would do it if they were in charge. We better do it quickly while we still have the chance. And my boss got up and walked out of the room in protest and told me to stay there. And it, you know, for the next half hour, 90 or hour, 90 minutes, this party that I worked for 30 years, volunteering and in some cases being paid to, I couldn't do it anymore. And I said, I'm not about a party that tries to disenfranchise a fundamental right, which is taking away people's constitutional right to vote, which is the people that were in this schoolhouse so many years ago, one of their main tenets was voting rights. And that's really what got me. And that's why I left the Republican Party.
I think it's a remarkable story. I know you're going to want to do the Wisconsin nice thing and downplay the importance of this symbolism of it. But I think it is a really important story.
I appreciate that, Dan Schaefer, our political editor. He's going to stick around.
Thanks again to Dan Schaefer. Up next, we're scooting on over to Friday's show, where we had Sean Hannish, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, to talk about another expansion to even more theaters in Wisconsin and surrounding states, and how you can maybe use that movie to cope with the Brewers' recent loss.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome
back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour or just after, keep on watching here. We have Ian O'Connor, Out of the Darkness. He is the author of that new book. Talk about films, films and books mixed up. The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Ian O'Connor coming up at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that, Sean. Should be fascinating. We'll see. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I want to read that. That sounds, no, yeah, I would like that. If he's unlocked a mystery, then right? that would be interesting.
More importantly, with our current guest, Sean Hannah, she is director and co-producer of this, I'm calling it the Film of the Fall across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who, of course, got in all the way to Game 7 of the World Series that year against the evil, dreadful Cardinals of St. Louis. No, I shouldn't be like that. But, you know, that's how I felt as a kid, Sean, when I lived through it. And that, my sister and brother-in-law and oldest niece went to this film in Eau Claire when it opened last week in Eau Claire. It's still there, I believe. And what they said is, my sister is the biggest sports fan in the family, but even my brother-in-law and my 17-year-old niece loved it. And they came out, and then my sister told them kind of the love story part that, hey, this is a city who was going through a lot at that time and needed people and a team to believe in. And then when they came up a little short, the team needed a city to return that love, and the city was there for them. And they both got teary-eyed and said, no, we want to go back and see it again. And that's what this film does. It brings people together. It makes it, yes, you're going to have a couple of tears like we did last night, but I promise you, folks, go see this film with friends and family. You will feel uplifted when you leave.
Well, thanks, Todd. Yeah, we're, you know, the journey of making the film, then the journey of you know, watching it for the first time with an audience, and just, you know, hearing responses of people that have seen the film. I mean, it's been one of the best experiences, you know, of my life, you know, creatively, certainly.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that people are telling you these stories, and Kelly and I hear these stories too. They're very personal. This is a very personal film to people, and they're loving the ride and the poignant ending and really the uplift. Because at the end of the day, what sports is about is at its highest form is bringing us all together to cheer as one.
Speaking of your co-producer, he's texting us. He's traveling. I don't want to disclose where, but he's traveling and he sent us a text. And now I feel like I know what former I think maybe he's still there. Sean McManus, who covered CBS Sports for so long. I wonder if he got texts like this from Kelly, like when he was president of CBS. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Giving us notes. It's fantastic. Kelly, we got to make sure we mention where this all is, right? And the movie opens, opened exclusively in 14 Marcus Theaters. By the way, I was in Ripon yesterday. Do you know that Ripon was the home of Marcus Theaters? That was where the first one was?
I did not know that.
And it's still going.
Yeah, you can still go see movies there for $6.
Yes. I think this movie should be in the original Marcus Theater Ripon, but that's just me. Anyway, this film is expanding just a bit outside to 5 new theaters this weekend, starting today, as a matter of fact, to make a total of 19 theaters. It'll be opening in the Schubert's Hartford in Hartford, of course. Also opening in the theater in Prairie-du-Sac, the Millennium Cinema 6 in Platteville, my alma mater for college, and also in 16 Janesville Movie Theater in Janesville, and in Kelly's hometown, the Burlington Plaza in Burlington, Wisconsin. Troy Everson, my former classmate from Platteville, take all your friends in Burlington Area School District and go see this film.
I mean, it's Kelly's so excited that we're in Burlington.
Right?
I mean, I am too. And so are his parents, him being from there. Yeah. I mean, we're so excited about the new theaters. Hopefully people can get out and see them. It's great because we're starting to get to everybody's kind of neighborhood theater, which is, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. We're also being held over in a number of theaters. We have 11 Marcus theaters throughout the state that we're being held over in. We're also being held over at the Rivoli in Cedarburg, the Downtown Theater in Eau Claire, a theater in Rhinelander, and in Portage. So, you know, it's amazing. Those are all 1 week runs that extended to two because, you know, people are super excited about seeing the movie once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
And after last night, go
see it again. I'm going this weekend. I'll promise you that. I need some upliftingness, so I'll be seeing it. And again, go to justabitoutsidethemovie.com, justabitoutsidethemovie.com. You can also go to marcustheaters.com and find out all the places that this great new film will be showing this weekend. Anything else you can tell us yet, or not so much about any place else that might be expanding? Can you give us an inside track, Sean?
Okay, guys, here's how it works. Usually you find out on Mondays when theaters email you and say, hey, can we have the movie for the weekend? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, we're going to hold over these theaters. We've already had 6 theaters reach out this week to open the film on the 11th, so a week from today.
Yes!
And those are in some really fun locations, including, I don't know, are we in our third state? Are we in Upper Peninsula, Michigan? Yes.
The Youpers. Yeah, I think the Youpers should be opening with you. I mean, that'd be fantastic, right? That's great. I mean, that just shows, again, you don't necessarily have to even be a Wisconsinite to love this film. I think it makes it better and more meaningful. But anybody, regardless of whether you're a sports fan, a Brewers fan, if you just love good storytelling, and I don't like to talk out of school too much. All I'm going to say is I had the honor of having dinner with Sean and Kelly last week. And when you sit there and talk to them, and more importantly, listen, you and Kelly, you care about this film so much. This is a love passion project. And that's, in my opinion, why this film is so good, because you deeply care about it and you put everything into it. And that comes across in the film. So thank you for what you guys have done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you so much for your support, for going out and seeing the film a third time this weekend.
Yeah.
But I really, really appreciate all these great discussions we've had on your show. It's, you know, I think you had the best quote about the film, in fact, so far. Whoa, that you didn't think you could. You did. You said, I didn't think that I could, you know, have tears for the last 20 minutes of a movie and yet leave the theater feeling uplifted.
Yeah.
I think that captures exactly the feeling that you have when you, after you've seen this film.
Go see it this weekend, folks. JustABitOutsideTheMovie.com or MarcusTheaters.com. Just a Bit Outside the Movie, the story of the 82 Brewers. Sean Hanisch, director, co-producer, along with Kelly Call. Really, really appreciate your time, as always, Kelly. Thanks for Sean. Okay. I was looking at Kelly's name. Okay. Sorry. They are cousins, as it turns out. So. Thanks, Sean. God. Appreciate it. Safe travels, Kelly. You. And thank you, Sean. We'll talk to you guys soon. Just a Bit Outside the Movie. Go see it. You'll feel better. There's always next year. Like Euchre said, we'll see you in Arizona in the spring. We'll see you on the other side with Ian O'Connor and Out of the Darkness on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Vice President Kamala Harris travels to North Carolina today. She'll view the damage wrought by Hurricane Helene. Storm blamed for at least 220 deaths. And ABC's Morgan Norwood in Salisbury, North Carolina, says the recovery efforts have been hampered by everything from damage to washed out roads.
The military is a huge part of that. We know active duty troops, along with thousands of guardsmen from all over the southeast, are in the disaster zone. And this morning, with that death toll climbing, you know, dozens still unaccounted for, the loss of power, no water. I mean, the situation over in Western North Carolina is still so dire.
Former President Trump criticized the Biden administration's response to the storm. He'll be in Butler, Pennsylvania today, returning to the site of the July attempt on his life. 2 days from the one-year mark of the Israel-Hamas war, tensions in the Middle East at one of their highest points since that day as Israel weighs a strike against Iran in retaliation for the missile attack. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin football team is looking to find its winning ways once again as they battle Purdue today. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell said they've got depth at running back.
I don't know that you can play 4 and 5 running backs. We've got to focus in on, hey, who's going to be one, who's going to be the next guy, and then who's the spare. And I just don't, it doesn't give them an opportunity to get into rhythms. Chez being one of those guys, Tyree being another one. So we're going to have to figure it out.
Today's game kicks off at 11 a.m. You can listen to it on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, and WLAK on the Civic Media Network. Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they take on the L.A. Rams tomorrow. Kickoff is after 3 p.m. The Milwaukee Bucks wrapped up training camp yesterday. They'll take on the Detroit Pistons to open up the preseason tomorrow with a tip time of 7 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny and breezy today with a high near 82. Southeast winds up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible, lows around 49. Sunday, sunny and breezy with a high near 65. On Monday, sunshine and a high of 67.
It's 51 at our studios.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke joins us. We're going to talk about sheep with dreadlocks. And we'll wrap up the hour with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ball show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Friday, October 4th, 2024. The Pack heads out to LA, take on the Rams this weekend. We will see what happens. Joining me right now via StreamYard, I am so excited for this interview. It's fantastic. A guy who knows a lot about one of the Packer icons, legends, Aaron Rodgers, spent a lot of time researching and talking to him. Ian O'Connor, who is now a five-time New York Times bestselling author. His previous works have included books and on people like Bill Belichick, Coach K, of course, Derek Jeter, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus. Ian O'Connor, thanks for being here. The new book is called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. How are you?
Good. Great to see you, Todd. It's my pleasure.
Well, and right off the top, I have to thank our mutual friend here. One of the great joys of working for Civic Media the last couple of years is getting to know a guy that you've known longer than I have, and that's Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media, who made this connection. He goes, hey, I got a guy that you might want to interview if you have interest. And I'm like, yeah, sure, who? And he told me, I'm like, yes, please. So big thanks to Mike for hooking us up and making this interview happen, and thanks for your graciousness of your time.
Yeah, well, actually, Mike, I haven't known that long, and
I introduced him.
Yeah, Bill Michaels had said, hey, you need to talk to Mike. And his institutional knowledge was very valuable to me. And he was just kind enough to take a couple hours on the phone, longer than that, really, just to share those insights and his knowledge. And luck is the residue of design. That's the old saying from Branch Rickey, right?
Right.
So you get, as an author, you have to get lucky in this business, in the process of writing a book, and meet people who can really help you out. And Mike Clemens was certainly one of those people.
Tull, if people haven't read your books before, well, why not, folks? Why haven't you? But no, if people that haven't read you before aren't familiar, tell folks a little bit about your background, how you got into writing, and what you like covering.
Right. Yeah, I really, I was a columnist at ESPN.com, the New York Post, New York Daily News, USA Today. So I've been a columnist at a lot of places. And really for the last 20 plus years, I've focused a lot of my time and efforts on being an author. And so Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers is my sixth book. And yet lucky enough to get on the New York Times bestseller list with it recently. So that's my fifth. And so I've focused obviously on iconic sports figures, coaches with Coach K and Belichick, athletes with Jeter, and now Aaron Rodgers. And so he got traded into my backyard. And I always wanted to do a book on a Green Bay Packer because Vince Lombardi coached at my high school and lived eight houses away from the house I grew up in Englewood, New Jersey. So when I played football at St. Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, that, believe it or not, although it was many decades ago when he led St. Cecilia to the number one ranking in the country, that legacy, we felt that. And unfortunately, the school is closed now. But because of Lombardi, the mystique of the Packers, you know, obviously I followed the Packers from a distance in large part because of the Lombardi connection. I always felt like I had a Packers book inside of me. When I arrived at Lambeau Field for the first time years ago, I just remember it felt like Lombardi was going to come out of the tunnel. It really did. Yeah, it's the kind of place it is. I'm sure you're well aware of the effect that building has on people who are visiting for the first time. So I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers sort of ended up in New York at the end of his career and put himself in front of me. And I was about to start a book on LeBron James, and I switched over to Rodgers, and I was glad I did.
I found that fascinating when I read that introduction. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, LeBron James is a pretty big subject there. And to put that on the kind of the side burner for a second to focus on Aaron Rodgers, did you just think it was because of the timeliness that in your experience of being a columnist, a journalist, watching these things, did something just click and say, look, this doesn't happen too often. This is where I want to go. How did you make that decision?
Well, there's a couple things, Todd. One, there've been a few books on LeBron, and one came out fairly recently by Jeff Benedict. And there really, I didn't feel had been, at least in recent years, any defining biography of Rodgers, who's the first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, without question.
Sure.
And here he is. I thought it was a fascinating, the second part of that is a fascinating partnership between a first ballot Hall of Famer at the end of his career, looking for that second championship ring and partnering with a Loserville franchise in the biggest market in the league. He's going from the smallest market to the biggest market. And yet the Jets have been a Charlie Brown franchise. And I think he realized a great opportunity existed with the Jets. And that opportunity was, if I win a ring with this franchise, it will feel like two or three or four rings. It really will. Mm-hmm. Because the Jets haven't been to the Super Bowl, haven't even been to a Super Bowl, never mind won one, since January of 1969. So imagining Aaron Rodgers holding the Vince Lombardi trophy above his head with confetti raining down for the New York Jets is very hard to picture, particularly now at 2-2, but just for that franchise. But I've been covering sports in the New York area for almost 40 years. That would be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime. So I thought this is the right time to, I can always do LeBron later on if I want to, but Aaron right now, right here in New York, I just thought it was a great opportunity. So that's why I took the project on.
I always like to be honest with my audience. When I have authors on, I like to try to get through the book as much as I can. But this happened a little quickly. I'm about halfway through or so, but I've got it dog-eared and marked up a little bit. Boy, if you want a book that really entices you, if you would allow me, here's a couple of lines from this great new book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers by Ian O'Connor. Quote, we discussed Mike McCarthy's coaching and Matt LaFleur's too. We discussed the one mistake Roger admitted making about his COVID-19 vaccination status and the one regret Rogers had about the way he handled rumors surrounding his sexuality. We talked about his family and agreed that no credible Aaron Rodgers bio could be written without covering his estrangement from his parents, his two brothers, and other relatives. He had virtually no communication with them for close to a decade, virtually. Before arriving at his first Jets training camp, Rodgers made his annual trip to Lake Tahoe to compete in the celebrity tournament. And then moving down, people who were close to Rodgers, who had been close to Rodgers, all noticed the same thing about him throughout that summer of 2023. He seemed happier, lighter, and more approachable. He looked downright unburdened. Quote, like the old Aaron Rodgers, unquote, said one family member. Boy, if that's not a hook, I don't know what is, Ian.
Yeah, I hope so. And it was nice to be at his house in Malibu, and it was an adventure getting there. I handed in the book in late January. So Aaron had not agreed to an interview. He had not responded to my messages and requests through the Jets, through his agent. I went directly to Aaron. I sent him my books on Bill Belichick and Coach K. I got no response whatsoever. I interviewed 250 people. None of them named Aaron Rodgers. But you can write I believe, a very good biography unauthorized without any cooperation from the subject. I think I did that with Belichick. I guess the reader would be the judge of that. But 2 weeks after I handed the book in, I get a call from the Jets that said, Aaron's now willing to see you. So I flew from New Jersey out to Los Angeles. On the way there, there was a bomb scare on my plane. We got diverted to Chicago for 7-8 hours. The plane was cleared and I went on my way and arrived in Malibu the following day at his house. And we sat in the backyard. It's the nicest backyard setting I've ever had for an interview. His backyard is the Pacific Ocean. We were on a bluff right above the ocean. It was beautiful. The sun was out. It was, it was a great scene. And I had no idea how much time he was giving me. Mm-hmm. And the Jets did not give me any time element to it. And I felt like if he didn't like the line of questioning or the way it was going after a half hour, he might just kick me out of there. Mm-hmm. So as it turned out, it wasn't certainly full cooperation, which for a biography would require 15 to 20 hours at least with the subject. It was a 2-hour fact-checking session. He basically allowed me to fact-check 250 interviews with him. And he made it a much better book, even though it wasn't nearly as much time as I would have liked, just by being candid on his COVID-19 controversy, his family estrangement, and other sensitive issues. And so since it was unauthorized, he didn't owe me anything. So I very much appreciate the fact that he did give me that one audience. Mm-hmm. I did get to talk to his parents. They hadn't commented really ever on the record about the estrangement. I drove them to the game last September when he was injured, 4 snaps into the Jets season, that disastrous 9-11 game against Buffalo. And then after the book came out this September, his home opener, I again drove them to the game. Different circumstances this time. The book was out at that Lake Tahoe celebrity golf tournament you referenced, Todd. He hugged his father there and they said, I love you to each other. And it's the first time they had seen each other or said any words to each other in 9 years. So that scene has been brought up a lot by people who got a chance to read the book, wondering, will that lead to reconciliation? Aaron says in the book, he wants to reconcile with his father. That was his hero, the man he wanted to be when he was younger. So I think if that happens, my hope as a human being, particularly as a father, more so than as a journalist, is that he reconciles with his dad and then the rest of the family kind of falls into place.
We're talking with Ian O'Connor, the author of this great new book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to give anything away, and you take this wherever you want to, because I want people to read the book. I want to have them have the same experience that I have had thus far. I mean, it is one of those page turners. You're like, I want to get to the next. But from what I've seen or what I've read so far, is there's this, to me, I don't want to judge, but a strange vagueness, I'll call it, where so far Rodgers never really seems to open up and say, this is exactly why I'm estranged from my family. And the family and this drive that you're talking about, these drives, they allude to, well, it's complicated. We hope it happens. No one ever seems to nail it. You don't have to tell us what it is, but do the readers eventually find out that mystery? Or are we kind of still left with, we don't know?
It's interesting because I entered the project thinking that there was one defined reason or event or development that was the ultimate reason for the estrangement. And that doesn't exist. So a lot of people asked about that. And there are like 15 different reasons. And I have a feeling that that is similar to a lot of family fractures and divisions. Religion was a part of it early on, but Aaron said now it's not. He's not religious at all. He's spiritual. That's how he defines himself. But his parents, his mother in particular, is devoutly religious. And that's how he was raised, where his mom, Darla, told me everything we did as a family was a prayer project. And Aaron did rebel against that. And I do think that planted the seed for other rebellions. But his parents blame Olivia Munn, the actress he was dating at the time of the estrangement in 2014. Aaron says Olivia really had nothing to do with it. She confirmed her role was she confirmed feelings I already had. And some of those feelings were that he felt his family did not fully appreciate his generosity. He thought his family revolved too much, even depended too much on his fame, fortune, and success. They disagree with that. It's like Aaron's viewpoint on it is driving the estrangement, but they don't agree with the way he defines it. Mm-hmm. And so he was upset with his brother, Jordan, who went on The Bachelorette and talked about the estrangement.
Right.
And there was a scene filmed in The Bachelorette where they're at the Rogers home and the parents' home in Chico, and there are two empty chairs at the dinner table signifying the absence of Aaron and Olivia Munn, his girlfriend at the time. And Aaron said, I wasn't even invited to that scene or that filming. So if you're going to do that and basically embarrass me, at least invite me to attend. So there just seem to be a lot of issues like that that are fairly minor, at least my viewpoint on it, and tells me this estrangement should have died many years ago. I think what's happened here is Aaron doesn't know how to confront it and kill it off and end it. So it's been easier for him to let it linger and fester. And that's why it's 10 years. And so hopefully now that he has said in my book, I do want a relationship with my father, despite the distance between us, that will lead to the end of something that should have ended probably 5, 6, or 7 years ago.
About a minute left here before the first break. Can he come back and join us for another 6 minutes on the other side, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, fantastic. On the way out here, give us the quick take, the knee-jerk take. What's your takeaway? Is he as big of, I got to clean it up for broadcast radio, jerk, as some people like to say, just as arrogant prick? Or is it just more nuanced, more complicated? That you got one of those people you got to get to know?
Well, yeah, I think so. And he's acted that way. He's hurt himself a lot in the last 3 years, particularly with the COVID stance. What he said in August of 21 at that Green Bay press conference, yeah, I've been immunized. Those four words changed his life. Mm. And obviously came out 3 months later, he was not vaccinated. And that misleading statement really hurt him in a big way in the arena of public relations. Certainly his image has never recovered from that. Mm. And so he did concede to me he shouldn't have done that. But I do think he was praised before that by the same media members who ripped him later. I do think that good guy is still there, and I tried to bring him out in this book.
Ian O'Connor, the book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. It's the Tunnel Ball Show for a Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX, The John and Gordy Show.
We have Mark on the phone.
It struck me the other day, the Wisconsin dairy industry would be crippled without the immigrants that have come to this country willing to do the hard work. They will not be a drain on our economy. They will increase our economy.
Absolutely.
I'd like to walk up to Mike Johnson and just give him, I hate to say it, but give him a swift kick in the ass.
That's how you really feel.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice, and for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, CBS Radio News or ABC Radio News, depending upon which station you were listening to across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media. Then you know, a little weather and sports. Then we have our friend Maggie Dawn for the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon, 2 until 4, followed by Dom Selvia. And then Nightlight with our friend Pete Schwaba up in, ironically, Green Bay, Wisconsin. We are talking right now with the author of this fantastic new book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. He is Ian O'Connor, joining us live on StreamYard right now. Again, Ian, thank you for the generosity of your time and being with us. Again, I love the title because there's no definitive word here so far. I'm about 3/4 through. And is that intentional? Do you kind of want the reader to find out for themselves, what is this guy like? What's the perception? Is he the good guy that's generous or riding around Green Bay in the back of a pickup truck giving big tips? Or is he this kind of narcissistic, ayahuasca, lock myself in a dark room, weird guy?
Yeah, all of the above. That's the beauty of it, I think.
Right?
And so, as I mentioned to you earlier, my goal is not for the reader to find who the subject is. I want to paint the full portrait of the athlete, coach, and human being, and then let the reader decide for herself, for himself. And that's what I think I did here. And it's not just black and white. There's a lot of gray area, of course, in between. And Aaron Rodgers was considered one of the good guys in the NFL and in American sports up until 3 years ago. Praise for his Colin Kaepernick support, praise for supporting athletes who were protesting inequities in American society, particularly on racial and social lines. And the same media members who were praising him for that then ended up ripping him for the COVID thing, and rightfully so. That was a self-inflicted wound, and he admitted to me he made a mistake. Aaron does not, as you know, admit mistakes very often. He never says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. There's usually a deflection of blame. But I could say that about most great athletes and coaches I've covered. So I do think he's a contrarian. He's a chameleon. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a lot of things. But I do want the reader to decide. I do think in this book, I bring out some of the stories from his friends and associates about his acts of kindness and generosity that are not publicized to counter some of the negativity of the last 3 years. His marketing agent, Ed Berry at CAA, told me he's a frustrating client to have because I want to get publicity for some of the good deeds and he doesn't want any part of it. So it's frustrating because I want to counter it and he doesn't take the time and has no interest in doing it.
Whether it's in the book or not, what was the thing you personally came away with that was unexpected after this project?
I guess I was expecting more negative anecdote stories and reaction from former teammates. I have to say that even going back to high school, junior college, and then his great career with the Packers, now with the Jets, just looking at the way the Jets looked at him, particularly last year, they revered him. And Hard Knocks, the show on HBO, did tremendous service for Aaron because it showed him interacting with teammates, acting as a good leader. And a lot of Jets fans were surprised by that because of the negative coverage of him in recent years. But I ran into an NFL official, a longtime official, who told me that he actually couldn't stand Aaron Rodgers personally and hated his stances, particularly on the vaccine. But he said, I have to admit, I've never met an NFL player who doesn't like him. And I do think that should count for something because he spends the most amount of time with his teammates. And a couple, obviously, Greg Jennings and Jermichael Finley said some negative things about him over the years. But they also said a lot of positive things about him as well. So I think that was the one thing that surprised me was just how much players, teammates stood up for him, even off the record. And so I would say that was something I didn't expect.
We started this by talking about Aaron Rodgers' play. Let's end it there. Looking at Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, as you said, are 2-2. They have a big game across the pond against, yes, they're 4-0, the evil and dreaded Minnesota Vikings. They beat us last week. What do you make? I mean, could it happen? I mean, you kind of say in the book, I mean, wouldn't that be cool? But I mean, can this happen for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it sounds like Devontae Adams will be joining him in the next two or three weeks.
How about that? Vegas messes that up. And I mean, you know that's going to happen, right?
It's got to happen at this point, right? And so, listen, 2-2 in a 17-game season, you're okay. They should be 3-1. They lost a game to Denver. They never should have lost at home. But Aaron's actually looked pretty good most of the time. And against the Patriots in the home opener, he looked like he was 29 years old. He was moving around great. Now, the first 2 weeks, he looked like a statue. He looked 40 years old in terms of mobility and athleticism. But all of a sudden, week three, that changed. And then week four, his offensive line nearly got him killed. So there's been a mixed bag of performance with Aaron. But overall, his arm looks really good. And when he has time, he still can sling it. And so I do think they're a playoff team. If you look at the roster, I don't believe in the head coach. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Aaron has to outperform the head coach. And at times he had to do that in Green Bay too. But Robert Saleh might be the worst head coach he's had in his career. And Saleh hasn't proven it. And Aaron, though he personally likes him, I'm sure at this point he's looking at him from a coaching perspective sideways. And so Saleh has to pick up his game or you're going to see a problem. Aaron said today in London, he has a great relationship with Robert Saleh, but publicly, I do think he personally likes him. I do believe him when he says that. But my understanding is, as a head coach, the jury is still definitely out on Saleh as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned.
About a minute left, Ian O'Connor. What do you want your reader to take away most of all out of this great book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers?
Just that he's been a villain in the NFL for 3 years running. And it's just more complicated than that. That good guy that did those things and earned that praise for his social stances with Kaepernick and other issues is still there. And so in talking to his friends who rarely talk about him publicly and associates, I think I bring that full person to life and bring him back in this book. And I think that's my ultimate takeaway from it.
The book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers by Ian O'Connor. And get it wherever you get your books. I did it the old-fashioned way. I went to Barnes & Noble. It's a great read. Thank you, Ian, very much for spending time with us. And congratulations on another great bestseller.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for sticking around for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago film critic and historian Maria Gates. And Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum joins me in studio to discuss upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 2 days shy of 1 year since the Hamas attack on Israel, tensions in the Middle East are at one of their highest points. An Israeli military official tells ABC the IDF is preparing for a significant response after the Iranian missile attack this week. ABC's Inez de la Cotera is in Tel Aviv.
But it's still unclear what that response will look like. There has been talk of Israel potentially going after Iran's nuclear facilities, potentially targeting its oil industry. We know the U.S. does not support either of those options. It's unclear whether Israel will listen, and there are concerns that any strikes on Iran's oil industry could cause gas prices to surge around the world.
1 month to Election Day, and former President Trump today returns to Butler, Pennsylvania, the scene of the assassination attempt in July, while Vice President Harris will survey storm damage in North Carolina. Helene now blamed for at least 220 deaths in the U.S. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court reconvenes Monday for a new term, expected to weigh cases involving ghost guns, transgender care for minors, and as ABC Stephen Portnoy says, the case of a woman who says she was discriminated against in the workplace.
The case involves an Ohio woman who says after 20 years in state government, she was not only passed over for a promotion, but she was also demoted. The woman says both of the positions were given to LGBTQ people. She's hoping the justices overturn the appeals court rulings that require what are called background circumstances, such as a pattern of discrimination against a majority group, or that the hiring decisions were made by members of the minority group in question. And neither was true in her case.
A new Gallup poll finds just 43% of Americans approve of the court's work. The owner of a water buffalo that ran loose for days in a Des Moines, Iowa suburb in August pleaded guilty to a charge of having an animal at large and was fined $105. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.